Time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. So, the troll, in defense of the glorious standard model physics, Brozo, has made a video. So, in 2 months, took him 2 months to post another video. He's been commenting raggy little stupid moronic comments. Now, I didn't bother digging every single sentence in his comments and dissecting them, but I did point out that his comment where he says he can tell the difference between the one mass and the two mass, I did point out he can't do that, and he keeps saying he can, and I could just show it in big letters, and I could do big icons, say, Brozo's a lunatic, he's crazy, I could waste a bunch of time doing that kind of horse shit, but of course I don't, because, it's just a waste of rational people's times. So he has caught me on a little error on something I drew, here, way over here on the board. So something in an hour video that was just a throwaway remark, he's caught me. I said it all wrong. Okay, a little thing about pendulums. He's made a whole video about it, written whole scripts, this whole bullshit. So yes, we'll play some of the video. I didn't watch the whole thing because it's pointless. It's such a trivial element of this conversation. So in a video, an hour-long video that had a whole bunch of stuff in it about the actual subject of kinetic energy and pendulums and all that kind of stuff, he just ignored all the stuff that mattered and focused on one little mistake. Okay. Let's understand, I don't spend 2 months making my videos. I don't sit there and edit them and do all this stuff. So, I'm not as likely to be able to catch my mistakes right away. Oh, amazing. And it's in a video where I said, I was talking about another subject, which I'll talk about again in, I hope, a little more clarity, where I even conceded I'm not saying this very well. Yeah. But, no, that's not humble enough or careful enough for these people. This is all they have in life is to slander, distort, pervert, quote mine. They can't do anything honorable or with any integrity. Just disgusting behavior. So anyway, so we'll get to that. But what we'll do is we'll go to the video he's actually taken a tiny clip from, all right? And we'll show all the arguments he ignored. So all the arguments that he didn't think needed to be refuted. Okay, so all of the arguments basically saying why it's impossible for the kinetic energy theory to be correct. He ignored all of that conversation so he could play with a stupid little side remark I made that I just said it backwards. So it's right here, actually. See this little tiny drawing right on the start button? That's actually the drawing he's going to refute, rather than all of this, the stuff I've been redundantly saying for months, that he doesn't pay any attention to. So all these excuses that he doesn't have enough time, and he can't get to this, but he has it all, blah, 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 that's all bullshit. Because clearly he had time to focus on an almost meaningless part of the video. I mean, it's so tangential. It just is barely connected. I was just using it as a parallel, and I said it the wrong way, and that's, it's not like it's completely wrong, it's just that it's completely said a little bit backwards. It's almost as trivial as saying, 5-ton train going 5 miles an hour instead of 10-ton train going, 10 miles an hour. Oh, I made a mistake, I said it wrong. Yeah, it's almost that trivial. All right, so, there's two subjects in this video that I think are really important. So we'll just get to the drawing parts. Okay. So let's understand. This is in the context of Stephen Bro making arguments about how levers work from the very start. So one of his first buffooning videos, he basically, I could play the clip. I could take advantage of it and just play it over and over again. Stephen Bro saying, the red object's going twice the velocity. And it's going twice the velocity because he's using a lever, ironically, all right, to give the objects their velocity. And now he's changed his story, right? And the change of the story can make no sense to anybody. But you can't change a story that much, okay? It's, you know, he's got three pigs in his three bear story. It's really, really stupid, all right? Like, it's like the bear is married to a pig. You know, ooh, kind of creepy. Or it's like the baby bear is a baby pig. Ooh. But that would be his style. I, you know, pretty damn sure he's been familiar with pigs. But anyway, you know, familiar in the true sense of the word. All right, so we don't need this for now. So I mean, it's an hour-long video. So all of the stuff said the video, he didn't find very interesting or important, except for this stupid little side remark. And we'll deal with this side remark, but the other subjects, frankly, are just so much more important than who but an idiot would waste time, you know, messing with those little side remark. All right, so I need the camera on, and I need this to go away. There we go. All right. Oh, the pin. The pin is gone. Yeah. Oh, always something. All right. I am running out of dark crayons. Anyway, all right, so in his one of his original moron videos, okay, he uses what I call the stick. I didn't know what he was doing. All right, and it was probably something like this. Okay, so the fulcrum was here. So it's a lever, but it's not, you know, a balance. And he would put the two mass here, and he put the one mass out here, right? And clearly the idea is this will automatically, because it's two distances away, so that's a precisely two distances, this one would have to go twice the velocity as this one. So this one would have one velocity, one amount of movement, this one would have two. Then, okay, later, because he realized, oh, well, that means I'm tying these two things together. That means, in a sense, it's exactly as I say, okay, that if we were able to do these experiments precisely enough on a lever, that theoretically you could put the 10-ton train, okay, going 5 miles an hour, push it in here, and you could just put a 5-ton train right here, okay, absolutely theoretically, yes, it's got to work, and this will leave at 10 velocity. Because this part of the lever will move this much in the same time as this part of the lever moves this much. That's a physical, unavoidable consequence of leverage. So clearly when physics girl says, oh, it lost, you know, when it went from 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour to 10-ton trains going 5 miles an hour, this is the video that started all this 2 years ago, that clearly it's impossible that this has only one half the energy, because the 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour can create a 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour. It could create a 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour if I put the 10-ton train here, and if I put the 5-ton train here, they'll both do the same exact thing. This side of the lever can't tell the difference. It can't tell the difference. Now, Stephen Bro in comments says he can tell the difference. That if I put, you know, something that weighs 5 pounds on this end of the lever or 10 pounds here, Stephen Bro says he can, of course, tell the difference. He could push on this side and tell which one is which. Now, I'm saying that's impossible. Can't do it. Nobody could do it because there's no information that can travel through the lever to give you that knowledge. There's nothing the lever is going to do differently. Okay, in terms of moving, it's going to move exactly the same when either object is on this side of the lever. When any energy goes in on either side of the lever can't tell. It just knows there's a weight. That's all it knows, pressure. It just knows there's a certain pressure against its movement. The pressure this will create and the pressure this would create, it, the 10 at this location, it's exactly the same pressure in this direction. This side can't possibly tell that it's fighting a different one of these two things. So let's just understand his gross duplicity. He says it creates twice the velocity. Then when he figures out that that means he's basically agreeing that kinetic energy can't be true, he tries to say this only goes with 1.4.
So somehow, this only leaves with 1.4 here. So somehow this leaves with 1, and this only leaves with 1.4, which means the lever had to somehow bend or something. Something dramatic had to happen that this one didn't go twice the distance, because it's automatic. If this goes this distance, this part of the lever has to go this distance. There's no way to prevent that if the lever doesn't bend. It's impossible, right? Everybody could agree. This can't go this distance, and this goes some other distance. This can't go this distance, and it can't go this distance. It can't do some other distance. It's a straight piece of steel. It's a straight line. How could it possibly go some other distance? So obviously, that can't be true. Now, I could just do videos over and over, and I could make a silly icon and just say, how could a lunatic say something like that? So stupid. How could he say this is only going 1.4, the velocity? He shot them with the same energy. The lever moved, and he's saying this lever somehow moved a different distance than this distance requires. Somehow this didn't move twice as far in the same time as this, and the lever was straight. I mean, that's a magic trick no magician can do. Can't do it. It's impossible. So, what? So I should make a buffooning video. What a buffoon, what an idiot. Now, of course, they are desperate to, you know, try to arrive at a theory that can't be rationalized. Well, it can be rationalized, but, in terms of you can spew nonsense like that, but you can't spew anything called logic or reasoning or do anything honest and actually make that kind of loop-de-doo argument that somehow it's only going 1.4 the velocity. Well, no, it has to go exactly twice the velocity at twice the distance. Can't do anything else but go twice the velocity. It's impossible. All right. Point number one. All right, so, I mean, this is the essence of the argument, right? This is the argument I have gone over and over and over many times. And I've simply said, and I've said at least a dozen times in videos, one of the critics, just draw a lever. Explain how in anything I said here, I made a mistake. See, this is the part they just missed. Where in describing how this lever functions did I just make a mistake? That's the part you're supposed to debunk. That's the part I've pleaded with you to show me where I am wrong. And instead he goes way over here. Says, oh, you have a little drawing over there. It's wrong. Too obvious evasion of the subject. Just too obvious for just petty reasons. Petty little victories. Oh, I caught you in a minor mistake. And they're so happy and proud. Oh, God. And then these are the same assholes saying there's something about life and humanity that has some sort of dignity and integrity. When this is how they spend their time. In this petty pursuit. Oof. Ugh. Gross. I mean, people are gross. All right, anyway, I'll be back. All right, we're back. So the other important, I think, subject, the other subject that Stephen Bro didn't want to discuss, even though it was part of like a week worth of conversation and comments on Bruce Yearney's video, is this idea of the, you know, you take the one mass and a one mass, and you have the same, instead of an explosion, you have a contraction. So you're using a rubber band instead of an explosion to separate two objects. Whoops, it starts with a one here. All right, so you have a one mass and a one mass. You pull them apart, and then you allow the elastic to pull them together. And the idea is they gain the same velocity because they have the same weight, the same friction, and so they move towards each other and hit right here in the middle because they move equal velocities. All right. And so everything makes sense. Simple. Newton's third law. Yes, it all kind of makes sense. For explosions, for contractions. Contractions happen in both directions. It's hard to make a contraction in one direction. Theoretically, in a sense, but that's what we're going to get to. All right, so, and then the catch is you go to a 1 and a 2, and you get a similarly reasonable outcome. Okay, the 2 is now has what you would think is twice as much friction. It probably has a little more than twice, unfortunately. So it's a little bit off, let's say, if you really did these experiments. That's why he puts wheels on them, to help mitigate against some of that unfairness that friction will create. So what do you have? So you do the same experiment with a 2. Well, you end up with what you expect again, in the sense that this one's going to go 1/2 the velocity. So it only has 1/2 the velocity going this way. This one is still moving the same 1 velocity, so clearly it's plenty of time to travel the original distance plus this extra distance. So the collision happens here, where you would expect. And again, everything's quite rational. This one's moving, you know, the same velocity as the last time. It has more time to get there, so it gets there, you know, a little bit past where, you know, the midway point, halfway. So that makes sense. Now, the trick is when you go to something that doesn't move. So when you're right before doesn't move, so I'm right before a little less than infinity weight, okay? That is at the maximum amount of friction. And so what's really taking, so the idea is that friction, although it starts taking more and more energy the heavier you get, because friction does have a bias against your weight, okay? It gives light things a pass, and gives heavy things, it steals more energy from heavier things. So the heavier you get, the more you lose to friction. So in this case, its velocity is a reflection of, you know, 80% there, let's say, of its velocity is a reflection of just the fact that it's heavier and you have more matter to move. And then another, you know, let's say 90. And then 10% would be, ooh, you had greater losses to friction. And as you make this heavier and heavier, the losses to friction start increasing. But anyway, so you're right before not able to move at all. So we're right before it doesn't move at all. And so this one only moves a millimeter, okay? And so this one comes crashing. It crashes right here a millimeter away. This one's still going the same velocity. The one is still going the same velocity as it went before. Here, here, here. It's all going to be the same velocity. And this is going to move 1 millimeter, but it's going to be really heavy. It's a 1,000 weight. Okay, so it only moves a tiny amount of distance in the same time. So that even makes sense. But then you get to, it doesn't move at all. And that's when it gets a little buggy mathematically, because, yeah, that's not going to make any sense, because I have a zero, which means I have zero energy. So then I'll have, you know, Newton's third law is going to look too good, because I'm going to have the same velocity for the one, but I'm not going to have any velocity coming the other way, zero. So I lost half the energy in the experiment. But you could sort of understand, no, you really didn't. Because what really did happen, you could imagine that right before you stop moving, you might tilt. You know, it might even just move the center of gravity. And, you know, if you tied the string, the rubber band to the top, you might understand that, oh, it'll pick up the back end a little bit. And that will be the work. That will be where your energy is, okay? And then if it doesn't tilt, you can understand that it's applying friction. Okay, so the energy's got, it's connected to the ground, and it's going to stress the ground. This is where your work is going to be. So you're going to be creating a lot of heat or something. You're going to be stressing the ground, putting pressure on it, skidding against it, moving it, pushing it. So yes, all the energy will go into the ground. So where this one rolls freely, and almost zero goes into the ground, almost zero, right? I mean, we know there's some friction, and we know we have some losses, but it's almost zero. We know all of it's going out through friction here. So that's just what is really happening. Is it's really you're losing it to friction, okay? The energy will eventually be all lost to friction. You know. So that does explain, but like I said, while it's still mobile, then you still have some hope of maintaining your percentage of the total joules of energy. So at 1:1, you have 100 joules and 100 joules. And let's say for friction, we only have 98. So we did lose some, right? And because this one's always doing the same thing, this one will always be just 98, okay? But this side goes from, you know, 98 to 88, and then it goes to 78, and then it goes to 68, you know. So more and more of the energy is getting leaked into the ground as friction. And even when it does move, it'll move slower than it should be moving, because more and more of the energy is being lost to friction. So that sort of explains this subtle line. But you could just imagine there is no subtle line, and you can just say as you get heavier and heavier, the movement is so slight you don't see it. And that's exactly the argument I'm making about the lever. What's the lever doing? The lever is applying gravity constantly, okay, and it's constantly, the restoring force is going into the fulcrum, okay, and pushing back. And it's constantly taking place. It's constantly being pushed down here and pushed back up here. Just like when you're sitting in your chair, gravity pushes you down and you constantly feel the pressure of the earth pushing you back up. It's constantly doing it. So you are, in fact, moving, even though you don't look like you're moving. And it's true for this object, too. All right. The weight is still being applied to it. It's just not producing visible motion. So like gravity, it's got a pressure pushing it this way. It just doesn't produce an obvious movement because its mass is so large, it doesn't move perceptibly, but it's still moving. All right, so that's good. All right, we'll leave that there. So these are the subjects that were in the video that he ignored. Okay, and again, I might even have said the classic line, draw a lever and show me where I made a mistake. That might even be in the video. He ignored all that for what you'll see is just a trivial mistake. All right. To harp. You know. It's just so petty. Petty. Pitifully petty. Pitiful. Yeah, poor. I should do a version of poor, poor, pitiful him. Yeah. See, really? Well, him. Who knows? Who knows? One does have some indication, some cause for doubt that he has anything called a testicle. So we will go back to the browser. So we just play some of this so you get the point. He's saying that if I took the two and put it here and then pushed on the lever here, or I put a one out here, that even though they weigh exactly the same, the lever proves that, they're applying the same pressure, he could feel the difference. He could push on this side and tell the difference between it. So this is a counter argument to his claims. He doesn't bother pointing out how, oh no, you're full of shit, no, that's not what I said, that's not what I wrote. No, no, he doesn't do any of that. So he doesn't defend against this counter argument at all, and instead picks on bullshit. Amazing. All right, go back to the drawing part. There we go. It sort of comes out that way, right? Because you can sort of realize that the smacking, okay, the sound you're going to hear when they hit, the amount of energy in the collision is more, okay, if I can make these both ones instead of one of them slower. So that's another part of the experiment that I haven't seen tested. But clearly, as this side gets heavier and heavier, it's going to move with less velocity. So the total impact, the velocity at impact, you kind of have to argue is going to be less. Now, the total momentum is still going to be the same, but you'd have to say that the amount of air pressure and sound you could create would have to be diminished because those things are completely dependent on velocity. So that's the catch. There's things have biases, okay, where they're triggered by mass or velocity, that the thing, the event, is dependent on. Any changes in mass or any changes in velocities will show those changes, but it's not, because it's not measuring the momentum, the total energy, it's measuring the incidental circumstance of either having something happen at a high velocity or low velocity. I've sort of argued that sound is that way, that sounds have to be initiated by actions that happen faster than the speed of sound, that all sound is really the propagation of sonic booms. You only propagate sound if you achieve the movement of something faster than the speed of sound. All right. So I will keep changing the amount of velocity, total velocity.
All right, so we won't bother. Already drew it, already did it.
It's going a little less than 1/4 of the speed.
Right, so this is the explanation of the blocks, blah, 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 blah. So we don't have the little silly drawing yet. All right, so it's probably somewhere in here.
When I change from this lever with a 2, same 2, he's saying that this 2 now moves some different speed. I don't know what that is. I don't know what the different speed is it's going to move.
So this is his claim. So he claimed in a comment that he had a video that proves it moves at a different speed, you know, relevant to this argument I have made. Right, again, they mock the fact that I have to make these arguments over and over again because no one responds to any of them. And then they don't respond to them. And then when they do, they just make some bizarre statement, like somehow the 2 on this side has to move different than the 2 on that side, when that certainly can't happen. But it can't move any different than the 1 either. The 1 is obligated to move twice the velocity. It doesn't have any choice.
But it's somehow 1.3 times faster here. So that would be less distance, so higher speed.
So it's going slower, therefore it goes less distance, therefore the other side still stuck going twice whatever speed it moves. Whatever the 2 mass is doing over here, the 1 mass can't vary the consequential result. It can't decide to go something else. It's a rigid bar. The rigid bar is saying this half mass out here, this whatever mass this far out on the lever, has to move twice as much as this part of the lever, right? I mean, the 1 unit, the thing 1 distance away, the thing 2 distances away, has to move twice the velocity of the thing 1 distance away. It doesn't matter what the masses are. That's a rule of the stick. Okay, so it's just so silly a thing that he's arguing that, you know, again, should I make a 5-minute video just buffooning that one argument and say, there, I'm proud of myself? Oh, screw that. All right. Looks like I'm going to draw over here now. Let's see if that's it.
I mean, Newton also did this.
Okay, so Newton, I said. Well, number one, yeah, well, it really wasn't Newton. I mean, Galileo messed with pendulums. And then so did the guy who, you know, Christian Huygens. And Huygens is the guy who really did pendulums. I mean, he was a clockmaker. So he made some of the greatest clock innovations and all that kind of stuff. Really good clocks. So that was the connection, that Galileo was inspired by somebody, okay, to connect pendulums to timing. And so the idea that you could do, it's a constant thing, you know, and that if you give the pendulum perpetual energy, that is, you give it an energy source, the pendulum will always swing at these obligatory times. And so Galileo's clock was like, you know, it lose 15 minutes in a day. Huygens' clock lost 15 seconds in a day. It's that kind of improvements on the same idea. And then Newton was also, like he said, you know, Newton did his share of pendulum experiments and attempted to, you know, document the mathematical relationships that exist. And that's what I was attempting to describe. So, maybe I'll clear the board and do a drawing of it just to explain how, yes, I made a mistake. All right, I guess we'll play what I said first, and the board's a little wet, so we'll do this first.
It's experiments where, you know, taking the arc of a pendulum, you know.
So clearly I'm saying the arc of a pendulum, so I'm trying to get to the point of how much it swings. So I started off by drawing it a little wrong. So I was thinking arc by just thinking about the degrees, and so that's why I put the line at the top, and mistake. Because once my brain saw the image, it started describing the image instead of describing the point I wanted to make, which is relevant. So this is the irony of this catch he's applying, is that you can see what I was attempting to say because this doesn't have any parallel. But what I was attempting to say has a huge parallel. So I'll show that.
The amount of time this takes is the same as the amount of time this takes, you know, this shorter.
See, so as soon as I drew the little line at the top, that's what I doomed myself to going this way instead of this way. So my intent was to point out that it's the arc of the swing. So you can just say it's you have the same length, but you could pull a pendulum that far and let it go. Or you could pull a pendulum that far and let it go. Or you could pull a pendulum that far and let it go. The fact is it gains velocity with the big arc. So it goes faster, and it ends up being the same time as if I dropped it here. So if I let it go here, it'll actually take the same time to swing as it takes if I drop it way up here. So even though you would think that can't be true, this little tiny distance takes as much time as this whole big, huge distance, but that's exactly the point. It's a lever. So I was trying to make the point that it's just like the lever. The thing on the outside moves much faster than the thing on the inside. And it's proportional. It's exactly equal. Okay, half the distance is going to be, you know, technically twice the mass as the outside. Well, it's not even getting into mass. It's just about the arc, okay? And then it has to be consistent because it's a straight line. They have to do the same thing. So this has to be the same time as this, or all of the gravity thing wouldn't be the same. I guess that's the point I wanted to make. I just said it backwards. And this is their big, proud moment. They've proven I'm wrong about everything because I said that badly. So let me just draw it just for the point. Because it's such a minor point. I mean, it's just so petty. So, but this is all they have. So out of all these videos and all of the arguments made, this is all they can do. This is the best they have as a counter argument against me. Okay, is this mistake. Alright, so the idea I was thinking about was this arc. The amplitude, as they call it, right? You can have big amplitude, you can have short amplitude. This time will be exactly the same as this time, because this is going to be going very fast by the time it gets here. So it's moving much faster, so it does the distance in a lot less time because it's going really fast. And this has so little energy and so little time to gain velocity. Right, it only gains velocity while it's dropping. It's losing velocity this side. So this is all it has to gain velocity, and doesn't gain much velocity. If I go even closer, that's very little velocity. So it takes this just as long to do this as it does this. That's the interesting Galilean fact I was attempting to get to, because it's just like the lever, in a sense. It's pointing out that these are connected objects. These points in space are connected. All right. But you can see, just such a minor little point. So let's just play the rest. This minor side point. This argument's only been made in one video. The other arguments have been in video after video after video. The fact that a 10-ton train going 10 miles an hour will, if it goes into a lever, can create a 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour. Or it could create a 2.5-ton train going 20 miles an hour. It can do all of those things. The longer string. It doesn't matter how long you make the string, same time for the pendulum to swing, blah, 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 blah. So that trivial comment, because I said that badly, it's wrong. What I said it the wrong way, it's wrong. He needs to make a whole video about that tiny, trivial element of this video. So even though the video is directly refuting things he said, he ignored all that.
even though it gets to the whole momentum and blocks thing. He ignored all that. All right, to embiggen nothing. Back, yes, people. Anyway, the good news is that Toadie did leave a comment on my video showing the pendulum oscillating, basically doing, 200 joules on one side, 100 joules on the other side. Makes no sense logically. But Toadie did ask a couple questions about scales, and I just thought it needed more conversation. So here's an old style scale, a spring, and it pushes. And the good thing about a spring that pushes, on something and it pushes the spring, is that you can essentially measure the instantaneous weight. That is the weight of something falling that's going to lose its energy. So it's not constantly being fed by the gravitational force. It has absorbed the gravitational force, let's say, and it's falling. So it's falling much faster than 9.8 meters per second because it's had more than a second to fall in the gravity, right? And so as it pushes on the scale, it's losing its energy. It's giving it to the spring in the scale. But the fact is that it will collect, the spring will collect all the energy, and it'll show you an instantaneous weight. And then it'll bounce back up and say the object weighs 10 pounds. So if I dropped something that weighed 10 pounds, it falls down, it hits, and it falls more than a second. It hits and shows you a weight, and then it bounces back up and then finds it shows you 10 pounds. Now, all these modern scales that do tenths of a, gram, hundredths of a gram, thousandths of a gram measurements, really, really precise. The problem is they're not doing this instantaneous thing. They're not going to show you this, what it does when it goes all the way down. They're going to show you the restored, So you lose you can't really measure impacts. You can only measure gravitational weights. What's it weigh? 10 pounds. 10 pounds. It won't show you what it was when it stepped on the scale. Sort of like a bathroom scale swings to 200 pounds when you get on the scale, because you're not getting on it evenly, in the sense that you have some momentum when you step on the scale. It's like you can't step on the scale without having a little extra gravitational energy. You're falling onto the scale. When you step on the scale, you fall on the scale. And so you weigh that little extra, and then it goes back up. So the only way you can measure accurately, or more accurately, or less inaccurately, how much momentum something has is to bang it into something that can register the maximum deflection. Is the maximum deflection is going to be a reflection of the weight at impact, where if you wait for the scale to start giving it back, you're not going to get the actual impact weight. You're going to get the after the impact, after the scale is given back some of the energy weight. You want the maximum in without any out. So you want a scale that essentially locks at the maximum position, ideally. But you can do that with a video camera. You can just video the scale moving, and get the maximum reading, hopefully. The frame rate has to be good, or you're not going to be able to do that either. So that's the problem with measuring. I'm arguing, and I've repeatedly argued and repeatedly stated, momentum is weight. Force is energy. Energy is weight. And weight is, what's the other thing that's left over? Is there anything left over? Well, anyway, those three for sure. It's all the same thing. Force, energy, weight. All the same thing. There's nothing else. It's all there is. And every impact is just a weight hitting you. So if a car hits you at 80 miles an hour, it's hitting you with its weight. It now weighs. So the car maybe only weighs 1,200 pounds. Very small car. But because it's moving, that's the times your velocity. That's your momentum. And that's your weight. So as your velocity increases, you're increasing your weight. So you have a mass, you move the mass a certain velocity, the total is your momentum, which is your weight. So the car hits you with a pounds per square inch. Everything hits everything with an amount of weight, okay, per the surface it's hitting. That's the physical universe. Now, I haven't heard any rational counter arguments to that point. That point's been made over and over. Brozo hasn't found that interesting. You know, but whatever. Too silly. All right, so I think that's probably enough. I mean, there was, well, I'll go the one. I mean, just another example of the silly desperation of these people in terms of ignore the whole video and change the subject. So we'll show that. Being done. All right, so here's the comment on my website. So it's probably, who knows, the G guy, whatever his name is, I don't remember. Ian or whoever, whatever. The lever experiment. Okay, interesting balance you made with the magnets. A balance works with weight. Yes, and I'm clearly arguing weight is momentum. You can never have weight without causing an object to have momentum. If it has no momentum, it won't weigh anything. Who says it has to work on kinetic energy? So I don't know. Who says kinetic energy is real? You do. So don't you have to show where it's real, that it's something that I should be concerned about, the existence of this magical nothing? I'm clearly saying your theory creates free energy. So the lever proves it doesn't work. The balance shows that kinetic energy is nonsense as an idea, because it would create free energy. Now you're saying the energy is somehow, it doesn't work. Where can it not work on the lever? The lever's not a chemical explosion. The lever's not nuclear energy. The lever's not magical gremlins. It's a, you know, rigid steel. I mean, it's a rigid bar. It's gravity. There's not much in it. And you can take gravity out of it, but doing it sideways. So I'm just saying there's no other moving parts. You're following the energy, and you're saying I can make free energy. I can make a 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour, create a 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour, and you say the 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour has twice as much energy. Well, where'd it get it from? Does it work with thermal energy? Well, I would argue that technically everything has to work with thermal energy, but obviously levers don't. But so how is that relevant? You're going to say this subject is nuclear, chemical, and thermal energy, which are all the same thing. It's just where you've given the energy away through some mechanism. All of those things are mechanisms that stored energy, okay? The fact that there's energy stored inside of, what do you call them? Isotopic atoms. How does that change Newton's third law? It certainly doesn't change the fact that the radiation goes both ways, you know, out of a radioactive substance. The same laws still apply. They just have to be understood in a different context. But yes, levers aren't radioactive. Radioactivity won't affect a lever. Yeah, you have to come up with some other mechanism. Levers don't have gas under pressure. Levers don't have explosive chemicals. So none of those arguments could possibly apply. Okay, would you heat up one side with a blowtorch and it wouldn't violate some law of physics? Yeah, of course you can't violate the laws of physics. That's why they're laws of physics. So yes, you're not going to violate them. You just have to understand that the transmission of the energy, the pathways that the energy will take, will be diagrammed differently. But the same basic rules apply. I, as a bowling ball, can't knock down pins and keep my momentum. I, as a 10-ton train, okay, or a 5-ton train, can't make sounds and crash things and bend metal and do all kinds of stuff without giving away my momentum. I can't keep my momentum and bend and distort and break things. So there's no way that a five-ton train going 10 miles an hour can connect to another 5 tons, become a 10-ton train, and have the same momentum. What can't possibly do that if it bent things and sparks flew off and sounds and it bounced and it did all kinds of other stuff. It can't do all that crap because all that crap has to be made out of the energy it started with. And clearly it wasn't nuclear energy and it wasn't chemical energy. Okay, it was mechanical energy. So again, this desperate effort to, let's just evade the subject. Okay, and that's all this is. Okay, just baby talk. You're going to sit there and pretend levers are, dynamite. No, they're not. All right. So I'm just pathetic. 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 Okay. So I think that's enough of a video. And such. So, till the next time. It's finding a good way to collect the energy. That's the catch, right? The old 1700 clay experiments and sand experiments were clearly bogus, clearly had bias. We've got to do better than that to really just illustrate it. And the fact is conventional science has evaded doing any of these experiments, and they've evaded it just like they have evaded the Eddington experiment. Again, 400 times better resolution from space, and we are to believe. That means you can do the experiment with 400 times better clarity, 400 times better information, and we're to believe they never did this simple experiment, the Eddington experiment, where you don't need an eclipse from space. So it's not a special experiment. You have to wait for an eclipse. You can do it any day you want. It only take a half hour. And we're supposed to believe that no element of our science has attempted the experiment from space. Too silly. Fact is, doesn't work. That's just the fact. So they're not going to publish results that say it doesn't work. We couldn't make it happen. Because they rather believe the fairy tale. The truth just doesn't matter to these people. And Professor Lewin proved it with his silly air car experiment. The silly experiment where he claims a weight that's impossible for the cart to have. Impossible for it to have. Can't be rationally explained how the one cart was twice as massive. Not possible, reasonably. Missing way too many weight elements to weigh twice as much. But they just keep propagating the propaganda. And these morons of the Borg, these little sycophants of the Borg tit, have to do their little part, their little minion part. It's just pathetic. So anyway, till the next time and such. So forth and whatnot. This has been a DraftPhysics.com video presentation. Blah, 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 blah. We'll just continue to make the arguments and hope somebody can do some better quality experiments and such. Get somebody to pay attention. Somebody who has the networking and the resources to prove it, with good evidence. Rather than brozo bullshit.